Happy fourth or fifth day of the week, Wednesday or Thursday, evening or morning or afternoon. Those that might be listening.
Hello.
Hello there. It's always good to have two people welcome.
Good evening.
How are you, my dear friend?
Good and very wonderful. How are you?
Well, that's good to hear. I can almost see you smiling. If I was at your door knocking on it.
Thanks. Good. Oh, thank you.
Well, as always, I've got a little story I'd like to share with you all. And in fact, I'm going to put it in the room so you can read with me. And this time I'm going to remember I have to share the screen so you can do that. So I don't get narrow-minded thinking you can all see it. So I'll just bring it up in the room. And Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Life isn't worth living until you have found something worth dying for." Isn't that a profound statement? A Christian man was shot and killed in Libyan city of Benghazi. He moved there with his family to help Libyan people and represent Jesus Christ, 4 months before extremists overran U.S. embassy, killing ambassador and three others. They all knew of the danger, but they knew God had called them and had even prepared them far in advance for the unique opportunity for them to serve in Libya. Within days of her husband's death, his wife spoke on national TV in the US about God's love for the Libyan people, expressing forgiveness for her husband's murderers. She forgave killers in Arabic in interviews broadcast all over the Middle East. Despite her grief, she showed a remarkable confidence in God's power and providence, reminding us Jesus Christ is worth dying for. We're told by that great evangelist, Paul, he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." 2 Timothy 3:1. The same writer, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're told in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, which we looked at months ago together, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life," speaking to the Smyrnians and that church period, who had no rebukes. Very good church indeed. Well, I've chosen for today's opening song one I believe you're all familiar with. And very pertinent today because of that little story, especially in relation to Revelation as we continue to see what was revealed to Jesus for us tonight. For the time is at hand. Give me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer alone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, lore and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious word
words by Jesus spoken, hold the faith lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word shall not pass away, said Jesus. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue our journey through the book of Revelation. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege to come before your throne on our knees, with bowed head, heart, and if possible on our knees, and having the abilities that we still have, the privilege and honor of co-laboring with your Son, the Holy Spirit making this relationship real, seeing the impact not only on our own lives that we pray would increase, but on others as we allow the light simply to shine forth as we reflect Jesus, He the Son, and we the reflectors of the Son of Righteousness, who has healing in His wings for everyone, without exception to all who realize their need of healing. It's our desire to become better acquainted with you, Jesus, and the plan of redemption. As we read more about on Revelation 16, that our understanding would be quickened, our memory would retain the information that we read, that we think about, related texts, related scenarios of events that are yet to take place. And thank you for giving us so much to have so much more confidence, despite the whole world almost apostatizing, when we see that which has been in the past, just as predicted, has historically been fulfilled. Thank you for impressing our separated brothers and sisters to be interested to have precious souls bring them the joys that have made them separated brothers and sisters in the faith, to invite them and to welcome them, what they have to say and mean, and may that continue, whether it be online, offline, in person, etc., any which way we can keep the loud cry swelling. Please help us, Spirit, remain active, and if we, and be warned off the inactive ground, because to do so is like cutting ourselves up from heaven and the Spirit's willingness to work in our life and do the good will and pleasure of our Father in heaven. Thank you for continuing to be with our brothers and sisters who are in awkward circumstances and situations that have occurred recently. We especially uphold our dear sister Susan with the sad news of stage 2 cancer that she has. We pray that she will not dwell on this, that you would help her be bright and hopeful as if she hadn't heard it, but doing all the things that she can do to contribute to the very best possible outcome to her recovery, to her removal of any form of pain that she's currently experiencing physically, and above all, spiritually, she won't suffer one bit, because none of us want to suffer at all, though we know we all get, our outer person gets older, but the inner person, as Paul said, is renewed daily by the Spirit of grace. We each want to have this fulfilled no matter what happens to our outer being, and we believe you're capable of keeping that which we've committed unto you unto that day, because we know in whom we have and are believing in. Thank you for the living faith that goes with the living word. Bless us now as we continue, and thank you for the privilege of having the Most High in our midst, in our presence. Come take a more firmer hold on the throne of our hearts as we seek what thou hast to say to us this day. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Welcome to those coming into the room. Glad you could join us. Big hugs and love to you all. Imagine if I said that at the door to a stranger. Said to one person, well, you know, a stranger's just a person you haven't met yet before they become your friend. Now, just bring up the Bible. Okay, here we go. That's great. What a wonderful picture, right? Revelation 16:18. Okay, there we are. Great. So, let's review last week. Last week, we read about the reality of there being a terrific roar of thunder, voices, mysterious and awful, declaring the doom of the wicked. In verse 18, the words spoken are not comprehended by all. We read that there is a significance behind this. Not all understand it, but they are distinctly understood by the false teachers who have caused multitudes to be lost. Those who a little before were so reckless, so boastful and defiant, so exalted in their cruelty in the name of God and religion to God's commandment-keeping people are now overwhelmed with consternation and shuddering in fear. They're up to the seventh plague, the seventh of the last plagues. We read also how the obviously a literal earthquake is brought out in verse 18, such as was not since man was upon, or men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, accompanied by a figurative earthquake, which shatters mystical Babylon, in verse 19, where the cities of the nations fall, the political organizations of earth included, that helped this threefold apostasy, apostate Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism. The kings of the earth, of course, being represented in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 16 in relation to the nations that kings rule over. We also found that the from insights from early writings, page 290 and Great Controversy 656, that the wicked are filled with fury. The hosts of earth turn upon their very leaders whom they once loved, and upon one another, the weapons with which they had purposed to slay the saints. And they're not confused like you read in the Old Testament, you know, thinking that the enemy, thinking that, you know, the one that's on your own side is now become your enemy, like as if they can't see. They really regard one another as enemies, and they know that they were once their best friends. There is strife and bloodshed everywhere because the Babylon the Great has come in remembrance along with those that followed her, for her sins have reached unto heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. So that's roughly what we looked at last week from verses 18 and 19. So that brings us to the last two verses of the chapter. And who would like to read that? And anyone share anything as it comes?
Sorry, which verses? 19 and 20? 20, 21, thank you. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Amen. Good to hear your voice, sis. Hugs and love to you. That term blasphemy, that comes up a few times, doesn't it, in Revelation? A beast has called it. It's got it written on their head. Heads have got it. Revelation 13. We're going to have to look at that a bit closer in the near future. Very significant. There's a close correlation between them all. So we... Oh, look at that. Brother Willington's here. Welcome, Brother Willie. So we have the convulsions of earth described here from the earthquake of verse 18. This was literal as well as figurative. We're told in Revelation 6:14 that, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Very synchronized. And these great hailstones, this great hail, or another way of putting it, great hailstones. The plague, we also know, out of curiosity, I want to ask you a question, all of you. The plague of hail on the land of Egypt, which is in Exodus 9, verses 18 to 32. Do you know what number plague that was? Just out of curiosity. It was also number 7. Isn't that interesting? Plague number 7 involves an earthquake, of course, but it was also number 7 in Egypt when the 10 plagues came upon them. And this isn't the only times it's been used in Egypt and yet future in the 7th last plague. It's been used, of course, in the other parts, like in Joshua's day and Ezekiel's. We are actually told this, I think we might have read this last week, but I think we'll read it again, just a portion of it. And it's from Isaiah regarding hail. Oh, we're getting to that, sis. Oh, you're getting me excited here. Well, from what I can find, what I've had presented to me, it's variously estimated a talent as weighing from about 58 to 80 pounds. Now, in Australia, we don't really work in that. So we would say 128 to 176 kilos. Now, I'll tell you something I haven't told you before. You know, I'm Slim Jim, Slim James. I weigh 70 or 71 kilos. And so, you know, just think of it like two of me or a bit more coming for you. it's heavy. It's big and it's strong. The hailstorm, if you've ever been in one, it's hard to avoid getting hit if you have to go out and do something. So that's what I've found. But does anyone else have anything? Does anyone have a different talent weight, perhaps a bit different from that?
Yeah, isn't a kilo 2.2 pounds? So if a talent is 58 pounds, then about half of that would be in kilo, if I'm not mistaken. But I've understood that a talent, it can be up to 100 pounds, so 50 kilo. And still anything above 3 pounds falling from the sky, is deadly. So imagine 100 pounds, or 50 kilo. That would tear through houses. That would break cement. That would, there wouldn't be buildings that could, or very many buildings that could withstand that kind of pounding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're right, bro. That you probably see it on the screen. 1 pound equals 0.45 kilograms. The talent, the definition of talent, although I did not look this up in the concordance, which might bring more light on it, I got that from the SDA Bible Dictionary on the term talent. They've given 58 to 80 pounds, but if it's bigger, so 128 to 176 or more. As you say, it's they hurt. I haven't personally received much. I don't tend to. Oh, look, there's a hailstorm. I better run out and hurt myself. But you can imagine, can't you? You see what they do to metal, what they do to glass, what they do to everything. I mean, this is just, we would say unbelievable. Of course, it's believable because God has said it.
Amen. Amen. I think the biggest hailstone that's been recorded was 7 inches. And that, I don't remember the weight of it, but it wasn't like it was one solid stone, but it had a whole bunch of nickel sized, hailstones cemented together to be that large. So it wasn't like it was just one solid block of ice. It was like a fusing of many smaller hailstones to congregate into one big one.
Wow. That's extraordinary. And what Sister Joan shared recently, it's like we have little reminders of what yet is to come in such a small way. And also glimpses of what Eden was like in people that are incredibly gifted at a certain task, like remembering. Well, these are the two quotes I was thinking of in relation to hail being used as a weapon by God in the past. And would someone like to read that to us?
Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand, When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Isaiah 30:30. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones.
Amen. Isn't that moving? I mean, he's essentially saying, I'm going to sweep away all the refuge of lies. I'm going to use water. I'm going to get rid of your covenant with death. It's going to be disannulled. Although in English, that's a double negative that makes it positive. It's not so in the Bible. And when they use it in Old English, it's going to be disannulled and your agreement with hell shall not stand. You're going to be trodden down by it. You're going to hear his glorious voice to be heard, lining down of his arm, and with scattering and tempest and hailstones. Very vivid. Thank you, dear sis. And do you notice that, in fact, I'm going to have to make some notes here. We've got the people for a third time blaspheming. They've done it before in the past, but for the third time, those upon the plagues fall, curse God, thus revealing, we could say, if we're looking at this, they've lived through the last six plagues, and they lived it, but they're not part of the 144,000. They're fearful. They want to kill God's children in the name of saying, this is what's brought these plagues. They're saying just the opposite of what God's children have warned them about, not receiving the mark of the beast, neither worshipping his image. And now we've got some rain. I might have to shut my windows. This is great. And so they reveal their utter contempt for him. There's no sign of, genuine repentance. Even in the midst of in their most grievous judgments, this is probably, you'd all agree, this would be the worst of them. If they make it at all, but this far. And so you see here the reality of their contempt. They still hold for God wholeheartedly. And notice it says, and then blasphemed God. Now, remember they were fooled. They thought Lucifer was Jesus Christ, who is also God. But it says, and men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. So it's almost like whether they're coming to a realization, it's at this stage those voices are heard by the wicked lost pastors and ministers and priests, etc. So can't help but think they do at this stage perhaps know, because they're the cause of their being lost, because they've gone along with these leaders, that they're blaspheming and they're about to kill one another too. I gotta carry paper with me everywhere. That's my eidetic memory, you see. My paper doesn't die. I'm gonna have to close my windows. If anyone wants to talk about, or maybe if you could wait, hold your thoughts and wait till so I don't miss anything. I've just got a bit of rain happening and I'll be right back. I always have my windows open for fresh air. It won't be long.
You know, it's interesting. The hail, of course, is not going to fall upon the righteous or the 144,000. I guess at this point, it'd also be the righteous in the special resurrection. And so there is a clear demarcation between who is receiving the hail versus who is being protected from the hail. And, praise God for being our shelter and protector. But can you imagine the winds, the ferocity of the storm to produce hail that is anywhere from 50 to 100 pounds. It's just, unless God just miraculously creates them that big and then they fall. But how hail is produced is that there's strong enough wind to blow freezing rain back up, and as it goes through the various layers of the thunder cell or clouds, it gets coated with water, and then it's frozen in the colder parts of the storm cloud. And then it gets so heavy that it falls down through the wind. The wind can't keep it up anymore. But if there's stronger winds, then it will continue that process until you have hail that is big, like Sister Joan brought out, ping pong ball size. And I've seen pictures of softball size hail. And, you know, a softball, what is that, like 4 inches diameter? And I've seen the largest hailstone that's been recorded, which was 7 inches. That was a monster. It looked like a disc with, it looked like Saturn. All right. If you look at Saturn, you have the outer rings, kind of the edges of the disc, and then in the middle, it's big. That's sort of, you know, general how that 7-inch hail weighed or looked like. But the winds that were necessary to take that 2.5-pound 7-inch hail ball back up into, you know, the process of being added to had to be tremendous.
When I was a child, I was on vacation with my friend and her family, and we were out in the desert somewhere, I don't know where, but there were black clouds up ahead. They were tremendously black, and we were thinking we were going to get in a rainstorm, and but as we journeyed on toward that black cloud, it seemed to get farther away from us, but on the ground there was hail the size of marbles, and if we had gotten in that, it probably would have broken some windshields and done some real damage to the car we were in. Praise the Lord, the storm receded before we got there.
Amen. Jesus, our shelter. Good. Thank you for your comments. Very interesting. And it makes me think, as I'm looking at verse 21, and I think, and to think, after all these 7 plagues, there are certain people, particular people, that are actually going to live through it all, and even through this one, because there's certain people that it's only the brightness of his coming, and they want to hide themselves in the rocks and dens and mountains from his coming. Not to say that it's they're not getting hurt in one form or another, but just you think it's pretty miraculous they don't you know, just get one hail and you're finished. As I said, it'll be possibly more than 2 of me, but it'll be, you know, I don't know what size it would be in terms of volume, but that will kill you. But they live right to the end. They deserve it. This is amazing, because they rejected the mercy of God to avoid it in the first place. And sharing this to others, they forbade others from coming to the light, the life, and Savior, because they were doing this, just like the Pharisees of old were doing. It's not a new religion, false religion, is it? It's an old one, starting with Cain. Well, starting with sin, ultimately, but especially revealed in Cain and onwards and his descendants. Well, I've got a few those who followed his ways. I've got a few quotations. Last week, I should mention this too. I know we mention it every time we look at a new plague, but Great Controversy 6:28, she does mention these plagues are not universal. The inhabitants of the earth would be wholly cut off. Interesting, isn't it? It's almost like that's how people still live through the hail and the earthquake. It's the biggest in the world, right? They will be the most awful scourges that have ever been known to mortals. All the judgments upon them. And remember, they'll be thinking it's all because of the commandment keepers of God. We've got nothing to do with them. Oh, no, no, it's because of them. We've got to kill them. Off we go. Universal decree. When they've already killed others by local decrees. Yet they will be the most awful scourges that have ever been known to mortals. This is from Great Controversy, page 628. All the judgments upon men prior to the close of probation have been mingled with mercy. The pleading blood of Christ has shielded the sinner from receiving the full measure of his guilt. But in the final judgment, wrath is poured out unmixed with mercy. Now, I was dwelling on that statement because I've mentioned it every time we've looked, just about every time we looked at the plagues, our new plague. And I thought, she says, wrath is poured out with unmixed with mercy. She gets that from Revelation 14, of course. And I was thinking, and although that is the case, in the seven last plagues, which are not universal according to that statement, or from the Bible, because simply everyone would die from it otherwise, it's interesting. I can't help but think in a way that it's still merciful in the fact that they are not universal. It's kind of like it implodes on itself, because although it's unmixed, it's got no mercy in it, it still has that tense of mercy because it's not universal. And yet the actual destruction that the plagues bring, there's no mercy in that. But yet other people who are just as deserving aren't necessarily all receiving it. Like everyone doesn't necessarily have a sore on them who have received the mark of the beast, just like not everyone is affected by the second plague or on a universal scale where they've got, you know, no water to drink, for instance. They seem to find some, at least. We just don't know how much, but it fascinated me because I thought, I was viewing it like it's still merciful because they are not universal. The inhabitants of the earth would be wholly cut off. And it looks like from verse 21, like a different verse where it mentioned they blasphemed the name of God, they knew exactly who had power over these plagues. And in reality, it was the God, the commandment keepers, whom the Christian world professed to serve, who was behind this because of their refusal to repent toward God and his broken law and have faith in Jesus Christ, his son. So we have looked at every plague of the seven last plagues, looking at them in order last week. We fitted that in, so we don't have to go over that again. That's when I would have done, but I thought we had a bit extra time last week. So we went through the seven last plagues and the meaning of what they refer to, why they could be what they are. So I found a few quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy I was going to put in the room to finish off Revelation 16. But before I put that in the room, I put a line between each new quotation. There's a couple of quotes to read. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share before I do that? And thank you. I'll just put my mic off in one sec.
The word blasphemed and men blasphemed God. Is the word men there referring to just men, or is it humanity? You hear little children nowadays taking God's name in vain. A very popular saying was, "Oh my God." And little children were saying that, and they had no idea what they were saying. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true. It would be humanity, not just the male gender. Brother, you connected the seventh plague on Egypt with the seventh plague here, specifically with hail. And when you read the description of what the hail did to Egypt, it killed the cattle, it broke down trees. So I don't know how heavy it was then, but it had to be more than 7 inches. It had to be enough to break established trees. So that had to have some weight.
A few years ago, a big chunk of ice fell out of the sky. I think they attributed it to coming from a plane. Somehow moisture from a plane had formed ice. This chunk of ice fell through the roof of a house and did quite a bit of damage. If you just multiply that a few times, you can get an idea of what hail the size of a talent might do.
No place to hide.
Yeah, amen, bro, because Revelation 6 says they call upon the mountains and rocks to fall upon them, but as far as I can tell from the text, I don't think they ever make it, because they die by the brightness of the coming, 2 Thessalonians 2, and all who have followed the one, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And thank you, bro. Yes, humanity. That's a good question, sister. I looked it up immediately when you asked regarding it, and it's number 444 in the Greek Strong's Concordance, the term men in verse 21, men blasphemed, and it's from Anthropos, and it means the countenance, from 3700, man-faced, but it doesn't stop there, wait for it, i.e. a human being. So amen, bro. Certain and man. So definitely, that is a very popular, form of sin today. And, it seems to only be increasing as time goes by, which is actually fulfilling a prophecy, like with the Jews of old, that it'll be, blasphemy. It was even said in Paul's day that men, that holy name is blasphemed because of I think in the context it was referring to not only because they're hateful people, but also it can be a cause for blasphemy, like in the old and new. By the way, you remember when David sinned, you've given great cause for people to blaspheme your God because you've committed adultery and you've killed Uriah, which no doubt they would have found out about. That's why the prophet Nathan told him, thus saith the Lord. But yes, good question. And yeah, so very significant. I think it's always good to tell people who are so in that habit to say, why do you take God's name in vain? And say, I don't believe in God, so I'm not taking it in vain. If they say that, but what are you taking that particular name in vain? Like if I said your name every time I accidentally hit myself, would you think that bit strange? Like, did you cause me to do that? Did I not do it to myself or someone else and have nothing to do in relation to you? You know? Well, they say for Pete's sake, but usually it's JC, OMG, and all sorts of euphemisms. And there's a lot of them. So, here are the quotes I was talking about, and there are a number. I think there's roughly five. And as I say, there is a line to distinguish when one finishes and the next one starts. So if someone would like to have in turns, or that dealing with this last portion of Revelation 16.
From early writings, I saw that many of these shepherds had denied the past teachings of God. They had denied and rejected the glorious truths which they once zealously advocated and had covered themselves with mesmerism and all kinds of delusions. I saw that they were drunken with error and were leading on their flock to death. Many of the opposers of God's truth devised mischief in their heads upon their beds, and in the day they carry out their wicked devices to put down the truth and to get something new to interest the people and divert their minds from the precious, all-important truth. I saw that the priests who are leading on their flock to death are soon to be arrested in their dreadful career. The plagues of God are coming, but it will not be sufficient for the false shepherds to be tormented with one or two of these plagues. God's hand at that time will be stretched out still in wrath and justice, and will not be brought to himself again until his purposes are fully accomplished, and the hireling priests are led to worship at the feet of the saints and to acknowledge that God has loved them because they held fast the truth and kept God's commandments, and until all the unrighteous ones are destroyed from the earth. Early Writings, page 123 to 124. Then I saw Jesus lay off his priestly attire and clothe himself with his most kingly robes. Upon his head were many crowns, a crown within a crown. Surrounded by the angelic host, he left heaven. The plagues were falling upon the inhabitants of the earth. Some were denouncing God and cursing him. Others rushed to the people of God and begged to be taught how they might escape his judgments. But the saints had nothing for them. The last tear for sinners had been shed, the last agonizing prayer offered, the last burden borne, the last warning given. The sweet voice of mercy was no more to invite them. When the saints and all heaven were interested for their salvation, they had no interest for themselves. Life and death had been set before them. Many desired life, but made no effort to obtain it. They did not choose life, and now there was no atoning blood to cleanse the guilty, no compassionate Savior to plead for them and cry, "Spare, spare the sinner a little longer." All heaven had united with Jesus as they heard the fearful words, "It is done, it is finished." The plan of salvation had been accomplished, but few had chosen to accept it. And as mercy's sweet voice died away, fear and horror seized the wicked. With terrible distinctness, they heard the words, "Too late, too late." I guess that's some of the voices that they hear. That's from Early Writings, page 281.
My attention was again directed to the earth. The wicked had been destroyed, and their dead bodies were lying about its surface, or upon its surface. The wrath of God in the seven last plagues had been visited upon the inhabitants of the earth, causing them to gnaw their tongues for pain and to curse God. The false shepherds had been the signal objects of Jehovah's wrath. I can see Rick Warren standing out there getting his portion. Their eyes had been consumed away in their holes and their tongues in their mouths while they stood upon their feet. This is hard as a firecracker. After the saints had been delivered by the voice of God, the wicked multitude turned their rage upon one another. That's where it ought to be. The earth seemed to be deluged with blood, and dead bodies were from one end to the other. The earth looked like a desolate wilderness. Cities and villages shaken down by the earthquakes lay in heaps. Mountains had been moved out of their places. Boy, now that would be something. Leaving large caverns, ragged rocks thrown out by the sea or torn out of the earth itself were scattered all over its surface. Large trees had been uprooted and were strewn over the land. Here is to be the home of Satan with his evil angels, for 1,000 years. Here he will be confined to wander up and down over the broken surface of the earth and you going to sleep, James? And down over the broken surface of the earth and see the effects of his rebellion against God's law.
Is it lagging, bro? Can you see okay?
Okay, my mic went off too. I don't quit falling out, I'll feel real good. Screen back up. For 1,000 years he can enjoy the fruits of the curse which he has caused. Limited alone to the earth, he will not have the privilege of ranging to other planets to tempt and annoy those who have not fallen. During this time, Satan suffers extremely. Since his fall, his evil traits have been in constant exercise, but he is then to be deprived. Let me see, where is it? But he is then to be deprived of his power and left to reflect upon the part which he has acted since his fall and to look forward with trembling and terror to the dreadful future when he must suffer for all the evil that he has done, to be punished for all the sins that he has caused to be committed.
Friday, January 18, 1884, Friday night, several heard my voice exclaiming, "Look, look," whether I was dreaming or in vision, I cannot tell. I slept alone. The time of trouble was upon us. I saw our people in great distress, weeping and praying, pleading the sure promises of God, while the wicked were all around us, mocking us and threatening to destroy us. They ridiculed our feebleness. They mocked at the smallness of our numbers and taunted us with words calculated to cut deep. They charged us with taking an independent position from all the rest of the world. They had cut off our resources so that we could not buy or sell, and they referred to our abject poverty and stricken condition. They could not see how we could live without the world. We were deep and dependent on the world, and we must concede to its customs, practices, and laws of the world, or go out of it. If we were the only people in the world whom the Lord favored, the appearances were awfully against us. They declared that they had the truth, that miracles were among them, that angels from heaven talked with them and walked with them, that great power and signs and wonders were performed among them, and that this was the temporal millennium they had been expecting so long. The whole world was converted and in harmony with the Sunday law, and this little feeble people stood out in defiance of the laws of the land and the law of God and claimed to be the only ones right on the earth. Three selected messages, 428, 427, paragraphs 4 and 5, and 428, paragraph 1. Great power was with these chosen ones. Said the angel, "Look ye, my attention was turned to the wicked or unbelievers. They were all astir. The zeal and power with the people of God had aroused and enraged them. Confusion, confusion was on every side. I saw measures taken against the company who had the light and power of God. Darkness thickened around them, yet they stood firm, approved of God and trusting in him. I saw them perplexed. Next, I heard them crying unto God earnestly. Day and night their cries ceased not. Thy will, O God, be done. If it can glorify thy name, make a way of escape for thy people. Deliver us from the heathen around about us. They have appointed us unto death, but thine arm can bring salvation." These are all the words which I can bring to mind. All seemed to have a deep sense of their unworthiness and manifested entire submission to the will of God. Yet, like Jacob, everyone without an exception was earnestly pleading and wrestling for deliverance. Soon after they had commenced their earnest cry, the angels in sympathy desired to go to their deliverance. But a tall, commanding angel suffered them not. He said, "The will of God is not yet fulfilled. They must drink of the cup. They must be baptized with the baptism." Soon I heard the voice of God, which shook the heavens and the earth. There was a mighty earthquake. Buildings were shaken down on every side. I then heard a triumphant shout of victory, loud, musical, and clear. I looked upon the company who, a short time before, were in such distress and bondage. Their captivity was turned. A glorious light shone upon them. How beautiful they then looked. All marks of care and weariness were gone, and health and beauty were seen in every countenance. Their enemies, the heathen around them, fell like dead men. They could not endure the light that shone upon the delivered holy ones. This light and glory remained upon them until Jesus was seen in the clouds of heaven, and the faithful tried company were changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from glory to glory. And the graves were opened, and the saints came forth, clothed with immortality, crying, victory over death and the grave. And together with the living saints, they were caught up to meet their Lord in the air, while rich musical shouts of glory and victory were upon every immortal tongue. That's taken from early writings.
Amen. Thank you, brethren and sisters. Quite a vivid picture drawn for us. There is so much in it, isn't it? In itself, it could create many Bible studies. That is Revelation 16, finishing it up with those quotations and the seven last plagues. Does anyone have anything to share with what we've looked at so far today, what we've conversed about? To finish up, any final thoughts on Revelation 16?
The thought that comes to me is never give up. Hold on to God, no matter what.
That's right, sis, amen. Well put. The more we don't give up, the more we'll have of Jesus, and the more we have of Jesus, the more shelter we'll have against further temptation and grace to save us from ourselves and sinning. So, we shift gears. Lord willing, next week we will look at It's such a blessing we can, you know, take careful, close look at each verse. We'll start chapter 17. A very interesting, informative chapter to add to what we've read previously, especially relating from Revelation 12 onwards. Be sure to bring your homework notes and share your thoughts and your impressions with us all. Looking forward to that. So, oh, I've got good news. So it's sort of like testimony time now. I got, was blessed to give out 33 great controversies, one prophecy speaks, one world crisis foretold, and one digital. Now, how do I know that's going to be looked at? Because the woman wanted to save the paper and said, look, I'm more of a digital. I take care of my baby and I've always got my hands full. It's easier to read at night because I've got to have the light off for my baby. So I'm thinking she's going to read it. Her name is Cara. And we had an interesting conversation before she had to pick up and do the school run, which was fascinating in itself. Are people fascinating? Isn't it exciting when you can share things you've learned from the Bible, compare historical documentation, scientific, empirical truths, and just bring it to the table, as it were. Have a talk. Have a discussion. Even about atheism and where that leads and what it's got to offer. So I thank God and thank you for keeping it in prayer. It's always a privilege to have the opportunity to go out. And apparently WA, Western Australia, has had lifted from people who want to be employed. Oh, you don't have to be vaxxed now. You don't have to be boosted. Well, I haven't got any phone calls from my depot, although they're screaming out for bus drivers. We see how it goes. It's early days yet. I don't know. I was driving past an Arctic. I was by the side last night while it was dark, and I thought, yeah, I'm here. I've come from a different kind of job. Which one do I prefer? Which one does the Lord prefer? Does he want half-half? We'll see. We'll keep it in the Lord's hands, won't we? But another good thing happened on Belmont Swap Meet on Sunday. I'm going to show you all pictures on Sabbath of what it looks like early in the morning. It's the good pictures. A Muslim who's come talked to us a couple of times before. His name's Mohammedan. He didn't have his son with him this time, but he had a lot to share and on his mind. He's the one that starts the conversation, and as you could probably expect, he's the one that finishes it. He decides when we'll start and when we'll finish. So down goes the book. Give him all my attention, and it was very interesting. I tried to help him see that his understanding that he believes the Holy Spirit is Muhammad. Perhaps you've all heard that. He was the one to be sent to lead into all truth. I said, but how can that be? He does not exalt Jesus Christ, the crucified one. They deny the crucifixion. They deny that he's the Savior. Well, that's because, you know, and he was talking like this, and I said, I know you don't like Pauline's letters, you know, Paul, the most prolific in the New Testament. I know, you got a wrong idea, but I know. And I said, he said, you know, you teach homosexuality. A lot of people are teaching homosexuality. I said, well, if you know Christians that do that, they might indeed be doing that. And I don't refute that they do that. But the Bible teaches something else. I took him to a Paul. I said, are we okay to use the New Testament, Muhammad? I know you say it's, you know, it's almost in jail. You accept the Bible. I said, I'll show you. It's not only in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Went to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. We looked at that. Men abusers of themselves. It could have went to Romans 1, but it was enough for him to say, oh, you know, I think it didn't agree with what he was trying to tell me off for. So he said to me, you know, James, it's something you've got this idea. Jesus appeared to his disciples, trying to convince them that he never died. That's right. That's what he said. Jesus, Luke 24, he was trying to convince them. I said, no, friend, it can't be that, because he said, look at my hands and my feet. He said he had suffered. They did not expect him to live again. They saw him die. They knew him when he was alive. I comment in the room, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus, so it cannot be the dead Muhammad. Amen. From his point of view, oh, it's got to be. He's talking about all the prophets, including Jesus. It really does look poor when you look at the foundation that's on, because 600 years later, someone's glorifying him. Jesus said he would lead these disciples right in front of them, and they didn't live for 600 years, as you can all appreciate. So I took him to Isaiah 9, verse 6, and I said, would you like to read it to me? Because I know you sort of have more faith in the Old Testament, right? Am I right? And so I showed him. I said, but you read it. Can you read it out to me, what it says? He said, and I don't know if he has difficulty reading it. He said, no, you read it. You read it. So I read it to him. And this is what it said. I'll give it word for word. You're probably all familiar with it. A wonderful prophecy, because he was talking that Jesus is not what he's portrayed. And I said, well, let's read the Old Testament. This existed hundreds of years before Jesus ever existed, the man we call Jesus Christ, right? You with me? You're on the same page? I told someone else that the same day. They were surprised to learn that the Old Testament existed hundreds of years before, even in Greek. I said, yes, why do you think I'm a Christian now? I mean, prophecy is a strong reason to believe Jesus is all that he says he is, fulfilling over 300 prophecies. So it said, for unto us a child is born. Now, you acknowledge Jesus was born as a child? Yes, he said. Unto us a son is given. You acknowledge Jesus is a man who was born a male, not 400 genders or whatever what one's saying today. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government. Wow. And he's, no, I didn't stop like this, of course. I just continued. And his name shall be called. You listening, Muhammad? No? Wonderful. Counselor. the mighty God. I wish I was looking at his face when I read that one. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And do you know what he did? He dwelt on the word wonderful. Oh, yeah, but this is... Now, whether he even understood the rest, I'm wondering, why did he strike at that one? Was he trying to avoid attention on the fact that it said the mighty God? Did you see that? The everlasting Father, capital F. But he dwelt on wonderful. I said, yeah, well, we can dwell on that. I think he's wonderful too. But he was trying to demote him. He's trying to say, oh, well, that doesn't mean what you're getting out of it. I said, but look at what comes after it. The mighty God. This son is going to be God as well. Can you not see that? Anyway, as I say, he gets to choose when we start the conversation, when we finish, and someone asked me to pay for the bay. He said, oh, look, you got someone here. And he goes, well, thank you, Muhammad, and thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we'll see him again. And the guy says to me, you know, you should start charging people to interrupt you and, you know, pay for your bay. I didn't take that up, of course, but appreciate him giving any time. So I'm so glad we get opportunities like that with atheists, Muslims, hopefully, and Christians, and hopefully all sorts of people. Thank you for keeping it in prayer. It's only a little endeavor, and it's really fascinating. It's been wonderful. So this is where I'm door knocking as well, in the area, the suburbia, a couple of suburbs away at the moment. So really privileged. Does anyone have anything they like to share? Any testimonies, songs, praises, prayer requests, anything that comes to your mind before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
I could ask an interest in your prayers. I'm under the weather again and been under the covers all day until this crazy computer couldn't get a decent signal in the other room, and so I came to a part of the house that it does get a good signal. This past 2 weeks, I've been cleaning out a trailer, getting ready to, as I say, destroy it and make a flat trailer out of it. And it's full of rodents, remains, and I wasn't wearing a mask. I didn't really think about it because I know those crazy little old Walmart masks are worthless. So anyway, Friday I was feeling just all in, so I stayed in bed most of the day. Sabbath, I don't remember what I did, but I took part in the services. Sunday, I began to hurt all over and headache. I figure, well, I'm having a malaria attack. I told Anna, and she said, I think you've caught hantavirus from the rat feces and urine. She says it's 50% fatal. You better go to emergency and get some help. So I went over to emergency. I told the doctor, I said, I want a hantavirus test because of what I've been doing. Oh, he said, yeah, you don't need a hot, you don't need a test. He's, there ain't nobody in hantavirus in Arkansas. That's only out in Arizona. And so he didn't do it. He tested me for some other things and came back that I had flu, SARS, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, tularemia, and COVID. I think he just took a shot in the dark, hoping he'd hit something. Well, he told me to go home and take some vitamins. So I went back to the house and I contacted Sylvia Mason, told her what was going on. She said, I'll send David down to get you. We can care for you up here. We can't do it at 160 miles away. So they've been caring for me, giving me hot baths and cold baths and vitamins and herbs and finally, I had asked Anna, I think it's malaria, but I can't get RLN up here. So she checked down there and said, yeah, we can get it, but only out of Bogota. Do you want me to order some for you? It's the same as chloroquine. I said, no, because there's no way for you to get it sent up here before I either die or get better. And Sylvia had a friend that was a PA, physician's assistant, a doctor, and told him what was going on, and he prescribed chloroquine, and he'd have to because we can't go and get it. And they went and got it today and brought it back, and I've been taking that. I'm hoping it'll do something. And if the symptoms go away, then it was a malaria attack. But anyway, I've been pretty low. So I ask an interest in your prayers.
Well, thank you for sharing that, dear bro. You know, you can't really tell much by your voice. You sound fine, but thank you for filling us in. How you've been? Glad you've been able to at least rest and to get help. May that help go a very, very long way. Bring you fully back to normal. You up to singing today still?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Wonderful.
Are you ready for it now? No, I think you wanted to pray first.
Yeah, we'll have I think that's our clarion call to prayer. Oh, the Muslim would like to hear that, wouldn't they? Well, shall we have a season of prayer? If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free to do so. And, I will go last.
Heavenly Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness, for friends who are willing to pray for my condition. I've been pretty low, but I hope to bounce back, and with your blessing I will. Be with the other folks who've come to the chat room to worship you and to give their testimonies. We thank you for the study. We sure don't want to be involved in Revelation 16. There's the Masons here who have brought me in and are treating me. Want me to respond to the treatment soon so I can be back on my feet. I've been laying in bed for 2 days now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God who is near, close at hand, and not far off. We thank you for being interested in our welfare and situation, our joys and sadness as well. Thank you for being such a loving Father and compassionate God. We lift up our dear brother Dick, that you will bless the efforts to combat the affliction or disease that he has. Dear Savior, as his great physician, we pray that you will continue to work in his behalf and bring healing relief to him, especially in peace of heart and trust in your love and wisdom in his life and his devotion to thee. And we thank you that you take in charge in his case and that the perfect outcome will occur, but we pray that he may speedily recover and be able to continue working for thee and helping thy cause to flourish around the world. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for shutting out the devil's attempt to annoy and harass and afflict our dear brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for life. We thank you for the love that you send to each one of us. We thank you for the concern. And we thank you that you hear our prayers. We need our brother Dick with us. And so please, as the great physician, heal him according to thy will. We think also of our dear sister Susan, who has a battle on her hands. Be with her. May your will be done and may this affliction be lifted from her. Give Brother Dick and Sister Susan the will and the hope to survive. We ask that others who may be ailing, you would look in on them and thy will be done in their cases too. But most of all, erase the hopelessness and the fear that accompanies being so sick that you can't get out of bed. We know that death is just a sleep, but there are those of us who would like to continue singing with Brother Dick. So we're asking that you spare him according to your will. Thank you for the fellowship here in this room, for the ability to study the prophecies, for your clear designation of who is saved and who is not, and for your clear designation of the evil of the devil and what he will be suffering according to the evil that he has brought to others in this earth, the lives that he has stolen away. We're not happy about this demise. We wish it had never happened, but it did. And we have to pay for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. And the greatest blessing of all is your love for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for that love, for dying in our place, that we could enjoy that love for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
And dear precious Father in heaven, thank you for giving us real hope, evidence-based hope that will one day be sight, and that we can dwell on thy goodness and get lost in thy love in truth as we allow self to die, that we might not allow falsehood to continue to exist in our life in any area of it, coming out of our mouth or entering into our thinking. Thank you, Spirit, for convicting us of our need of Jesus, of conviction of sin in our life, and of the judgment to come, has brought out specifically in this chapter that we just finished. Please help us have a continued zeal and purpose to, whether you want us, whether we live or die, the attitude, thy will be done, with a contentment that only the Holy Spirit can give, where we don't long for our, you know, life to be over if you don't want it to be over, or if to be so, we don't lessen the significance of the joy that awaits the faithful of all ages. We indeed uphold Brother Dick. I'm so glad to hear he has different ways of seeking help, first with prayer and the prayer of your children around the world, coming to the throne of grace boldly because of Jesus being there on our behalf, and who is heard by you personally, and everything given, whatever he asks, that it be your will working out in us in the prayers, supplications, and the praise that we put forth. And if it's not, that you'll correct us in this area as well, in these areas. And that our dear brother's efforts will be blessed because he's resting in your love, and that he'll get the much needed sleep, and he'll be a very, very happy to come out of what he's suffering, to be your holy will, that especially above all things, whatever happens in each of us as individuals, we will remember that we have the power to bring people to blaspheme your name or praise it, to curse Jesus or to be open-minded, to get upset that Christians exist who follow the Bible, or to be willing to concede that perhaps they've never tried Jesus or just should start trying. Jesus, we all want to be channels of light, and we believe we've tasted and seen that indeed you are good. Help us not limit what you can do in our lives as we go forth on the errands, as our dear brother and sister and others that might be sick are recovering, are seeking treatment with the power of your, of you, Jesus, as physician over the case. And thank you for taking such intricate details in our life that most of which we might not even understand or know of. Thank you for being so intricate with that detail of help. Please, Spirit, help us understand it more so that we would have more praise in our life, more trusting in our life, and more joy to give to others, because there's no God that saves like thee. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, is there any last thoughts? Anything else that might be on your mind before we close tonight? We have a bigger attendance today, don't we? Good to see. Did you want to say something, Sister Chaka?
Yes, I just can't imagine how it's going to feel, the plagues to the false shepherds, those seven last plagues, how they're going to feel when they have a taste of those seven last plagues.
Yeah, it's fearful, isn't it? And of course, it can apply to us as well if we're not careful, you know, even though we might not necessarily be pastoring the church, etc. Yeah, amen. Comment in the room. 10 times more intense than others. So they lived through all the seven last plagues, 10 times more intense. And no doubt they are part of the people that actually see Jesus in the clouds of heaven, and the brightness actually consumes them along with everything else they were suffering. It's deadly serious, isn't it? It's a very good point.
Looks like the sunshine has come back out in Aussie, according to the light and shadow on your face.
Oh, and I'm not even bald, and you can see that all my forehead is getting a bit bigger. But, you know, the sun was always out. It's just the clouds. Yeah, it has stopped. So it's looking like I'm going to be door knocking. Got to go to the post office first. So that'll be fun. We'll see who other people we might knock on their doors and get to talk to. It's very exciting, you know. It's so good. I love when you get to share. You got to put in the Bible prophecy just to see it. You get that mixed reaction. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, but it's always a joy that you and I, all of us, can drop in a word for the Lord one way or another that will not be lost on the hearers.
Amen. Be keeping it in prayer, bro. And really looking forward to our study time in Revelation 17, seeking to learn it better.
Amen. I must confess, I've worked on it a little bit, you know, studying and conversing, and, you know, it doesn't matter how many times I look at it. There are other features. There are other factors. You so need a pen and paper. And, of course, computers are very helpful. And I'm really looking forward to it with you. As we've done in the past, I'll just give you a heads up. We're going to look at 3 views that hopefully cover different aspects of what we've looked at in Revelation 12. And 13. Oh, praise the Lord, sis. Putting tracks out in bathrooms and magazines, in stores and in other places. Amen. Amen indeed. That is exciting, isn't it? I gotta remember not to look like I'm doing anything wrong. But, you know, we have a big place called Bunnings. And just putting it in the baskets when no one's looking. It can be hard. It's a very busy place at times, but It's not littering. We wouldn't say that. But if you're told to pick it up, I'll happily pick it up and give it to their hand. That's wonderful, sis.
Amen. You sort of got a captive audience there in the bathroom stalls, you know, because they're there for 5 minutes or more. And if they happen to see a little track or something, is going to get their curiosity. I mean, they haven't got anything else going.
Sister Jean.
Okay. Yes.
No, mm-hmm. Sister Joan said good night, Sister Jean. God bless, sister.
Yeah, I said big hugs.
Thank you.
Did you have something to share, Sister Chaka?
Yes, I wanted to know, is it easier to reach people online than it is to reach them in person?
Well, I have no statistics, but it's certainly either or both. I do both, personally. It's certainly a good way to work from home, the online issue, but yes, personal contact has its benefits, doesn't it? They're seeing your face, they're seeing your expressions, they're seeing your willingness to help and talk and share. And so, I mean, what is brothers and sisters' experience? Does anyone want to share their experiences?
Internet is good, but face-to-face personal interaction is, I think, better if it can be done.
Years ago, before we moved here to this house, I would witness in an online chat room with other people. I made a lot of friends, and I didn't have to show my face because I'm shy. And it was really nice getting in a chat room. I don't know of any chat rooms today. I haven't been looking, but I enjoy doing it online as well. And I also, when we go to the stores, I'll take a track into either the bathroom or I'll fold one. I'll fold one in half and either put it in a magazine or I'll find some other place, like maybe in between, like if I'm in the soup aisle, I'll put one in between the cans of soup or behind the cans of soup or something like that. But that's how I do it. So, but years ago, I was in a chat room and made lots of friends and witnessed for the Lord, and I was having fun doing it. So, but anyway, that's my experience. So just wanted to share that.
Planting seeds.
Amen. Amen. Each one of us is different. You know, Moses didn't consider himself very capable of talking directly to Pharaoh and be able to honor God at the same time. But God said, hey, I'm the one that made your mouth. I'm the one that can give you a tongue that, you know, to speak the words that no one would be able to talk against. So just trust in me. But there's really no bad way of sharing the truth. So however God impresses you to do, whether it's passing out tracts, whether it's witnessing on the internet, whether it's personal door knocking or mailing out materials, there's no bad way to do it. God will indeed watch over his word and will allow it to accomplish the purpose for which it was given. So just do what you can to spread the truth.
Some years ago, I worked in a medical office with my aunt and uncle. He was a general practitioner, and they went on safari to Africa, and I was to stay there and keep the office open, and to treat our regular patients who came in for injections or whatever. I was there at the office. And I prayed to God. I said, God, I know that someone is coming in today that you want me to speak to, but I don't know who it is. So if you can just give me a hint when this person comes in, let them start the conversation, then I'll know that they're the ones I'm supposed to share you with. And this one lady came in, and she opened the door by saying something about God, what he had done for her. And I said to myself, okay, God, this is the one. And we had a wonderful chat without interruption because she was the only one there in the office. But God does use you in very particular ways. And whatever way that you're willing to work for him, he will help you. And I praise the Lord for that, for the time I was able to spend with that lady.
The other way that I really like to also do witnessing is I get the phone book. I start with like the A's, and I make out envelopes, and I put tracks in the envelopes, and I just mail them off. And if we get response, we get response. If not, they have the message that God wants them to have. And if they throw the track away, then that's on their head. So, but I was planting seeds. So, but that's another idea that you can do. So just sharing that.
Interesting comment. Go ahead, sis.
Well, those were wonderful testimonies, and that's very nice and well. It's good to witness in any way that you can and that you're able to.
Amen. Brother Joel, did you have something you want to say, Sister Petwa? I'll never forget when I became a Christian. I'll never forget someone sharing with me, and probably more than once. There is a wrong way of sharing the truth. You don't have any love when you share it. And there's that quotation, I think Brother Joel mentioned it a couple of weeks ago by Paul, that some preached a Christ of contention, hoping to hurt Paul and, you know, making the most of him being in Rome and in prison and, you know, putting him down and trying to draw attention to themselves and draw them away from the truths of the gospel. But they're still Christians, and they're sharing it, but they had it of contention. There's maliciousness, and there is a ulterior motive that was better of a worthy cause. But then, of course, there were those that were of goodwill. And let us all be among that group. And I've got a question. I was always wondering what would it be like to be in America. If you, when you go to a door, just out of curiosity, if you go to a door, you're not allowed a letterbox, I realize. If you go to a door, no one's home. Can you put something under the mat that says, sorry, I missed you, da 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 da? Yes. Okay, I might have asked that before because I'm now thinking, I think Brother Bob was the one that responded. Thank you for that. That's really good. So that's kind of like a second letterbox in a way, if they don't take something originally, if they're home or if they aren't home. That's really cool. That's great. That's they don't make a big issue of it. That's fantastic. Oh, there's a comment in the room.
Yeah, you can even go up to their door and around, if they have a screen, around the knob of the screen door or around the door handle of their front door, you can rubber band material there so that the wind can't come and throw it away. So there are things that you can do up on their front door area that you cannot do inside their mailbox, which is a law in this country.
Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. I've rarely got any negative comments when I've done it, but they do happen, you know. You saw it says no junk mail, rah, 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 but it does say, hey, we knocked on your door. You weren't there. Anyway, they're rare. That's good to hear, bro. I've sort of stopped doing that one with the door because of those calls I've received. I've been in the habit of putting it in the mat, but that's fantastic. Might have to start doing that again now and again. What a wonderful thought. Look at the text by Brother Willie. He says, we in my country, people are ready to receive books, tracts, and any other information with the message of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic?
Amen. A trick that you can do, you know, if you're doing tracks on cars and you go to put it under their windshield wiper, well, you know, if the owner of that parking lot comes out, they can have you go and pick out all of the tracks that you put under the windshield wiper. But if you fold the track in half and you put the crease end, the folded end, into the door jamb of the car, so there, you know, there's a space in between where the door closes on the car and then the frame. If you stick the folded end of the track into that little slot of the door and push it all the way in, it doesn't look like there's anything there. But when they open the car door, then the track falls out at their feet and they're able to see it. And then they usually pick it up as they go in to sit in the car. So if you're afraid that the owners of the parking lot are going to make you pick up all the tracks off the cars, then put it into the little slot of the door and then you won't be able to get it out. They can't make you go and retrieve it from there because the car door has to be opened. So that's a little trick that can help in those type of situations.
Amen. That's wonderful. I think you shared that before. I thought, oh, that would take a bit longer to do. But if no one's watching you, why not? Well, someone is watching you. The Lord. You're in the Lord's work. So that's wonderful. That's great. It's always good to know different ways to do things, isn't it? Constantly learning, using what we learn. So be sure to have your revelation glasses on, the heavenly eye salve in your research for chapter 17. It's a big one. It's exciting. Can you tell I'm excited? I can tell Bob's excited. Look at that. I just love those front teeth. Look at that. They're perfect. Isn't that wonderful? I think we have one with the bottom teeth showing as well. Until then, God be with you. Lord willing, we'll all meet again on Sabbath or preparation day for some. And let's keep one another in prayer, supplication and praise. God bless. Thank you for your company.
My camera's not working tonight for some reason, so you'll just have to listen and you can't see anything. Sorry about that. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.